Shall we turn in our Bibles to the Gospel according to Mark in chapter 14, please? Mark chapter 14, and we'll read from verse number 26. Mark 14, 26, and when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. Our second reading will be in Luke chapter 22. The Gospel according to St. Luke and chapter 22. And we'll read from verse number 54. Luke 22 and verse 54, Then took they him and led him. This is the account of the Lord Jesus Christ led to Pilate and then to the cross. Then took they him, verse 54, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou art also of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying of a truth, This fellow also was with him. But he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. One more reading. In Mark chapter 13. One more reading in Mark chapter 13. And verse 34 to the end. Mark 13 and verse 34 to the end. Maybe we'll start at verse 33. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Now if memory serves me right, when I was here a couple of years ago, I spoke on the mountain goat, and we learned some lessons on the mountain goat, and we saw a picture of the mountain goat as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in his perfect walk. And if you've ever seen a goat upon a mountain, there is one animal that will not fall. No matter how steep the mountain or no matter how steep the cliff, the mountain goat has the ability to climb or to descend at a speed without stumbling. And we saw a few pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ and the mountain goat. Today I want to speak about this little bird that we find three times in our Bible. It's called the cock or the rooster, as Brother Rajan reminded us in his prayer. And I want to make an application this time of the rooster as a picture of you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was here, I think Mercy was with me too, in 2011. I think we reached here at about 3:34 in the morning, and everything was pretty quiet, and there was no sound at that time in the morning, maybe an occasional dog bark. But we came that early in the morning, but there was one animal that began to make its presence and make its sound known. It was the cock. At 4 o'clock in the morning, we were introduced to this friend that was going to be my friend and enemy for the next 3 weeks. So we stayed with Aruna and Jadhav, and the place that we stayed, I think the cock was Jadhav's friend. And every day, this cock crowed multiple times in the night, if I'm not mistaken. And it was many a time there were sleepless nights because this cock crowed. So I remember that incident from the last time I was here, the crowing of the rooster. The Lord uses many animals and many birds and the sounds they make and the way they walk, the strength of the lion and the walk of the goat, the meekness of the lamb, the heavenly nature of the dove, and so on. And so the Word of God is so beautiful. It gives us so many pictures of who He is, and He gives us many pictures of who we are. This morning, I would like to really look at this little bird called the cock or the rooster, and particularly I want to look at this bird in the experience of Peter. Why did the Lord choose a cock? Why did the Lord choose a rooster in the experience of Peter? Why was it not some other animal? Why was it not some other bird? Why is it the rooster? And so I've been enjoying a few thoughts lately. I think it'll be a blessing as we look at these verses and this passage that we read from this morning. I'm going to say that if there is one disciple all of us can relate to, if there's one disciple that all of us can say, well, I'm a little more like this disciple, it is Peter. It is, whether it is any aspect of Peter's life, it is more easy for you and I to relate to the Apostle Peter. And so, putting myself primarily into Peter's shoes, here are some of the reasons why I believe the Lord used the rooster in Peter's life. The first thing that I find in the life of Peter and that I can relate to and that maybe you can relate to is the posture of the cock. The cock has a very, have you heard the term a cocky person, a very proud person? Okay, that was Peter. If you look at the story of Peter, he was a very cocky person. He was a very proud person. He was a very chest out person. He liked to be, make his presence, his prominence known. And here is the Lord using the rooster, using the cock to deflate the pride of Peter. There are many a times that even in this passage that we read in the Gospel of Mark, for it was the first person who said, not me, Lord, not me, Lord. The Lord told them that there's going to be a time going to come when you're going to deny me. And Peter turns his chest up and lifts his head up like a rooster would and said, not me, Lord, not me. The second thing that comes to my mind when I think about Peter is Peter was the outspoken disciple. When there was anything to be said, Peter was the first to chirp in. Peter was the first man to open his mouth. Whether it was the Mount of Transfiguration, remember when the glory of the Lord descended upon that mount, and Moses and Elijah appeared, the first person to speak was Peter. He said, let us make three tabernacles, let us make three tents, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And Peter is always the first person to speak. Even here, when the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Mark speaks of what's going to happen to him, the first person to speak up is Peter. Here was Peter who loved to talk, and I'm going to apply this this nature of Peter to the nature of the rooster. It always clucks and it always makes noise. It always likes to crow. And that's how we are sometimes. If there's any discussion, if there is any matter to be talked about, we are pretty quick, aren't we? We're very quick to talk. We're very quick to speak. And so here we have the prattle. I'm going to call it not only the posture of the rooster, but the prattle or the talking of the rooster. The third thing when it comes to the rooster is the rooster, if you look at it, even during the day, it is about 3 or 5 feet. It sits on a fence or on a post, and it looks around the position of the rooster. Not only the posture of the rooster, not only the prattle or the talk of the rooster, but the position of the rooster. The rooster likes an elevated position. And that's how I am. And that's how we all are by nature. We like a high position. Whether at home or whether at school or whether at work, sometimes even in the assembly, we like to be recognized. We like a position. And remember that the great disciples had a fight among themselves as to who will be the greatest. And multiple times in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ in the gospel, the disciples had this problem over and over again. At one time, the Lord bows down and takes a towel and washes the disciples' feet and gives them a lesson on humility. Another time, the Lord takes a little child and puts the child in his lap and says, unless you become like a little child. And so we all need to remember that we are not called for a position. We are called to serve. We are called to be humble. And what a lesson Peter had to learn from the rooster. They say there's a term that is used in English, the roosting of a rooster. Even when the rooster sleeps, it is in an elevated position. Even when the rooster sleeps, it is called the roosting place of the rooster. And so is it amazing how the Lord uses this bird to teach Peter some important lessons. And I hope I and you will learn lessons in the experience of Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, I want to speak on the power of the rooster. There are many parts of the world where they have cockfights. And if you see a rooster fighting there, they can fight to death. The power of the rooster. And even in the field, if you see a cock, you'll be seeing the cock chasing other cocks or chasing other hens and always trying to establish his power. And that's how I am. I like my power to be felt. I like what I say and what I do and how I do it to be known, the power of the rooster. And as you look at all these things in the life of Peter, you will understand why the Lord uses. He doesn't use a donkey like he used in Balaam's case to stop the madness of the prophet. Now he uses a rooster to speak very personally to the apostle Peter. And so may God help us this morning to put ourselves in the place of the apostle and see how the Lord deals with a failing and a stumbling disciple and how he blesses him. Now, in the first passage that we read in the Gospel of Mark, where we find the Lord Jesus telling Peter that, or telling the disciples that I'm going to die. I'm going to be given up in the hands of the high priests and the nation of Israel, and I'm going to die. And the Lord uses this as his word to remind them. I'm going to call this particular section as the reminder of the Good Shepherd. Here is the Lord Jesus acting as a shepherd. He acted as a shepherd leading his disciples for 3.5 years, and the time has come when he has to leave his disciples. And he is giving them a reminder from his word. The reminder of a good shepherd. And he says in that section, and he quotes from the Old Testament in verse 27, he says, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. The reminding word of the good shepherd. Now, I know this is an assembly meeting and this is not a gospel meeting, but I always love to bring the gospel in any meeting. There's nothing wrong in speaking a few words in the gospel. And if there is anyone here this morning who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the first and the most important, the most basic truth about the shepherd is that the good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And if you do not know the good shepherd, if you have never experienced the giving of his life, this is what the good shepherd did. Smite the shepherd. And when the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary, in John chapter 10 it says, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And the sacrifice of Calvary is when the good shepherd, with his hands outstretched, nails through his hands and nails through his feet, the good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And I think of that day in my own life when I came face to face and had the experience of sins being washed away. It's a tremendous experience, if you're not saved this morning, to know that the good shepherd gave his life, his own life. I will smite the shepherd. Who is this I? Who is this I? You see, we very often are taken up with the sufferings that the Lord Jesus endured at Gabbatha, when the soldiers and all the afflictions he had at the high priest's house, when the Jews afflicted him, the Romans afflicted him, they put nails through his hands and nails through his feet. They buffeted him. The word of God tells us in Isaiah 53, he could not be recognized. He was marred more than any man, perhaps at the hands of men. But the work of salvation is not based upon the work of man. The work of salvation is based on what God did to him. We are reminded this morning in our worship that he became a curse. Only God could do that. God made him a curse for you and for me, the blessed Son of God. He was made sin. He was made the sacrifice. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. And so, first of all, let me say, if there is anyone this morning who does not know the good shepherd. The good shepherd gave his life for you on Calvary. He shed his blood. He gave his body. He gave his life. That a sheep that had wandered far away could be found, could be rescued, and could be brought back to the fold. So that is a tremendous truth of the word of God being used by the good shepherd. Now, he is not only the good shepherd for sinners, but is also the good shepherd for the saints. And here is Peter reminded from the word of God, in spite of your overconfidence, even in spite of your pride, in spite of your verbal, whatever he wanted to say, that he will never stumble, the Lord Jesus Christ uses his word to remind Peter that my word is going to preserve you, my word is going to keep you, my word is going to sustain you. My word is a lamp to your feet and a light unto your path, the reminder of a good shepherd. And Peter did not learn this lesson in the historical accounts here in the gospel, but when you come to the second epistle of Peter, Peter uses this word over and over again. He says, I want to stir up your minds by way of remembrance. I want to remind you. I want to remind you. I think there are at least four or five occurrences in Second Peter when Peter writes to his readers and says, I want to remind you the word of God. And so may God help us to, when there is a warning given, whether in our personal devotion, whether we come to the assembly, a warning is given, that we heed the warning of the good shepherd. Because if we don't heed it, we'll end up where Peter ended up, cursing and swearing and going away from the Lord. Heed the words of the good shepherd before the fall comes. And so that's what I'm going to call it. I'm going to call it the reminder of the good shepherd. The second portion that we read in Luke chapter 22, shall we turn to that portion briefly? In Luke chapter 22, in the portion that we read, it's a sad story of the fall of Peter. And again, you and I can very easily relate to this occasion. Very easily, I can put myself in this. It's very easy to criticize Peter. It is very easy to find fault with Peter. As I look back into my own Christian life, I think there are innumerable times I have done exactly what Peter did. And if the first occurrence of the word, the crowing of the cock, the Lord Jesus is acting as the good shepherd, in reminding Peter. I'm going to use this section and say this is the restoration of the Great Shepherd. The Lord Jesus is called the Great Shepherd in our Bible. It's the restoration of the Great Shepherd. In this section that we read, Peter falls in the depths of darkness, in misery. He's a miserable man. He once, not twice, but three times he denies the Lord. He denies the one whom he walked with for 3.5 years. I never know the man. And Peter comes to an absolute low point in his life. And I believe that when a Christian falls, when a believer sins, when a believer goes away from God, the state of that believer is like an unsaved person, sometimes worse. A backslidden Christian is worse than an unsaved person. And if you read the account of Peter, what depths he went to, it reminds you. And I'm sure each one of us can go through times in our lives when we stumbled and we fell. And we stayed in that condition for some time. Darkness, miserable, discouraged, depressed. And here was the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of a mocking crew, in the midst of being maligned and spoken against and despised and laughed at and the worst things they were doing to the Lord Jesus. But here was the shepherd. He was not thinking of himself. He was thinking of Peter. And Peter was not willing to bend. He was not willing to submit. He was not willing to realize that he's going away from the Lord. And the Lord tells the rooster, it's time to crow again. God, the Lord Jesus, calls the rooster to crow to get Peter back to his senses. And what an amazing thing it is that the Lord uses the rooster to crow. And when the rooster crows, Peter's conscience is awakened. Peter suddenly realizes what the Lord told him. Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me. And the conscience awakened, and that's what happens when we are backslidden. That's what happens when we sin. That's what happens when we go away from the Lord. The Lord has to use something to awaken us. Sometimes it is His Word. Sometimes it is a ministry. God awakens our conscience that is so proud and so far away. And that's what the Lord does with poor Peter here. He's not thinking of himself. He's not thinking of this disciple whom he loved. And the crow of the rooster awakens the conscience of Peter. So Peter turns. That's what repentance is, isn't it? Repentance is turning. It's a turning around 180 degrees. That's what repentance is. Even when it comes to sin, even when it comes to your state when you are not saved, repentance is a complete turnaround. Born again means a complete turnaround. It is not a half and half. A new creation is a complete turnaround. You must repent. That's the meaning of the word, turn around. And Peter turns around in this section. And when Peter turns around, he sees somebody looking at him. You read that section carefully. He finds not only he's turning around and looking at the Lord Jesus, but he sees the Lord Jesus looking at him. That is the restoration. That's where Peter is restored. Judas was never restored. But Peter came to the point of complete brokenness. And he turns around and he looks into the eyes of the one who was suffering there. And the Lord Jesus Christ as the Great Shepherd does that tremendous work of restoration, and Peter weeps bitterly. Peter goes out and weeps bitterly. And that is the restoration of the Great Shepherd. As I said, many a times I have been in this place and many a times you have been in this place. The psalmist, the great psalmist of Israel, the sweet psalmist of Israel, this is what he says. He restoreth my soul. Psalm 23. Many a times in our Christian life, we have enjoyed the sweetness of that verse. He restoreth my soul. And brings us back into the joy and brings us back into the fellowship and brings us back into the enjoyment of what Christian life is all about. Many a times the entertainment of the world, the pleasures of the world, or the filth of the world that is out there takes our affections away. Thank God for those moments in our life when we enjoy the restoration of the Great Shepherd. When we come to this last portion that we read in the Gospel according to Mark and chapter 14, the Lord is saying, I'm going to come again. I'm going to come again. I may come. It may be at morning. It may be at nighttime. Or it may be at the cock crowing. The third time we have the crowing of the cock. 4 o'clock in the morning, the Lord may come. Everything is quiet. Everything is still. I may come at cock crowing. The uncertainty of the coming, but yet the surety of his coming. The Lord Jesus in that section reminds us that he is coming again. Now, all the three times the rooster crows, we know it is about 3:34 in the morning, the darkest part of the night. When it comes to salvation, it was the darkest stage or the darkest time in my spiritual history. When it comes to restoration, it was when I am way down there in my sin. I'm away from God. I've turned my back to God. I'm like Peter. I'm enjoying my sin. I'm unwilling to repent. That's when restoration takes place. We have to come to that experience, the darkest part of the night. Now, you and I will agree that we are in the darkest part of the night when it comes to the second coming of Christ. The Lord may come at the crowing of the cock. He may come at it. It's a picture of him coming at any time to be ready. And what a tremendous truth it is that the Lord again uses the crowing of the cock to remind us that he is coming again. He is coming again. And in that section, the Lord is saying, watch, watch, watch. And Peter, when you read the epistle of Peter again, he is reminding his readers to be ready. It is a purifying hope. It's a sanctifying hope. It's a joyful hope. It is not an uncertain hope. The Lord is coming again. The trump of the angel, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to descend into the skies. The dead in Christ are going to be raised first. We who are alive and remain are going to be changed. We are going to all meet together in the midair. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take us into his Father's house. The reminder in our lives of the Good Shepherd, the restoration of the Great Shepherd, and the coming again of the Chief Shepherd. May the Lord bless his word.